The Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph teaches us, based on what we learned in the Mishnah on Tezvav Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph taught us Hachoitit Begodish. If somebody has a large pile of straw and he digs out that pile to develop a sukkah, so the Mishnah taught us that sukkah is not a kosher sukkah because there's a din of Tasa V'Loimen Osui. The sukkah has to be made expressly, not that it should be made automatically just by digging out, I end up with a sukkah. Comments Rav Huna, Loi shano ela she'ein sham chalal tefach b'meshech shiva. This issue that the Mishnah speaks about is only if there is no hole in the sukkah, the size of a tefach in height, by 7 by 7 tefachim. Aval yesham chalal tefach b'meshech shiva. If there's already a hole there that's a tefach high by with the dimensions of 7 7 tefachim, hareza sukkah. Then it's a sukkah. That means what Rav Huna is teaching us is because we already have here schach, because the definition of schach is if it's covering a open space. And here the schach is covering an open space, the space of this tefach. Therefore, it's considered a kosher sukkah. A few questions that the Rishonim and that the Achronim ask on the Gemara. One question is, we've learned in a previous year already the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam taught us that a sukkah that has very thick schach, is that the rain can't penetrate, is not considered a kosher sukkah. So how come over here, when you have such a thick layer of schach, is it a kosher sukkah? So the Mefarshim say two terutzim, two approaches. Some say that when did Rabbeinu Tam say that there's a problem if you have very thick schach, says the Taz? It's only when you have a sukkah that has some sort of a structure. Here, as we began our shir, we're dealing with a pile of straw. Since we're dealing with a pile of straw, it's certainly nobody's going to confuse a pile of straw with an ordinary house. And therefore, even if this is rainproof, even if the schach is rainproof, it doesn't disqualify the house. Del Yoraba actually disagrees, and he holds that indeed a haystack, which is very packed very tight, is not valid schach until indeed it's loosened up. The rain should be able to penetrate it. Continues the Gemara. Tanya nami hachi, hachoitit begodesh las lai sukkah, hareza sukkah. If somebody digs out a haystack to make a sukkah, it's not a kosher sukkah. Ask the Gemara, v'anantanan, haven't we learned in our Mishnah, ain't a sukkah? Alav shma minok Rav Huna. The way to differentiate is with Rav Huna's differentiation, if there was already a hole the size of a tefach, or there wasn't. So as we learn this Gemara, and the Gemara teaches us that there's a nafkamina, if there's a hole the size of a tefach, then this sukkah could be a kosher sukkah, versus if there is no hole, even the size, the height of a tefach, then it's not a kosher sukkah. There's an obvious question that comes to mind. We learned in the first Mishnah of our Masechta that the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. So if the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim, why over here, if you just have the height of a tefach, is it adequate? And there are a number of approaches in the Mefarshim how to answer this question. One approach that I saw from Rabbi Yoshe ben Soloveitchik, an interesting approach, is that the halacha is that indeed you need to have 10 tefachim. And that indeed when you will dig, you will need to dig the other 9 tefachim when you start with a tefach, and now we need to dig another 9 tefachim, he is what it's just a completion of the original digging. In other words, what he's saying is as follows. Of course, as we've learned, taloch is you have to have a height of 10 tefachim. But if, says Rav Huna, you begin with 1 tefach, and then you're going to continue digging the other 9 tefachim, that will be considered, all the other 9 tefachim that you're digging are really a continuation of the original, tefach. And that's why it's acceptable. And in fact, he finds a precedent for this. He says the halacha is that when we write letters in a Sefer Torah, the halacha is that you have to write the letters in a fashion that you can't just put ink, put a glob of ink on your Sefer Torah and form a letter. That's called chok toiches. The halacha, however, is that if you wrote a letter on a Sefer, you have to write the letter expressly as a letter. But if you wrote a letter, then ink fell on the letter, you could scratch off the excess ink and have a kashra ois. Why isn't that considered chok toiches? So he says, when you started with a kashra letter, even if you completed your writing by an act of chok toiches, that isn't called chok toiches. It's only called chok toiches if you began that way. Here too, when is it a problem if you wouldn't have even had a tefach? But if you have a tefach and you're just completing it to 10 tefachim, that's not an issue. And with this, he says we could understand the riff. There's a riff, and in fact, the Mishnah Brura here in Simon Tov Reish Lamed Hei, which quotes this halacha of Achaitit Begadosh, which will come to a mitzvah Shem soon. In the Bir Halacha, Divrei Hamaskel V'chotet Bo Achakach V'shlima quotes the Rif. And the Rif says that when you dig out these extra tefachim, when you started with the hole that Rav Huna identified, that it's 1 tefach high by 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and you dig the 9 other tefachim, he says you have to dig them with shame sukkah. And the Mishnah Brura says, "V'tzarich in gadol." I don't know why the riff requires that. But according to this explanation, the riff is very understandable. Because the riff is teaching us that, as we just said, that the digging of the extra 9 tefachim is the completion of making the sukkah. And you have to make it the shame sukkah. But perhaps we'll say another explanation in the riff later. Others explain that we're going back to a sugya that we had earlier in the Masechta, the sugya of sukkah agabe sukkah. And when we learned the sugya of sukkah agabe sukkah, we had a machlokes, how high is one sukkah supposed to be? How much separation is there from one schach to the other schach that it should be considered a situation of sukkah gabe sukkah? We learned many opinions. One opinion was 1 tefach, one opinion was 4 tefachim, one opinion was 10 tefachim. So this Gemara, they say, is going according to their opinion that even 1 tefach is considered sukkah gabe sukkah. It's a difficult shot, because we know that that's not the opinion that we follow la halacha, that 1 tefach makes it a sukkah gabe sukkah. So why over there is 1 tefach agabi, is a tefach agabi, why over here is a tefach considered a valid height, and over there it's not considered a valid height? But then there's a third pshat. And the third pshat is a fundamental pshat in understanding the structure of a sukkah. When we speak about the structure of a sukkah, the sukkah is the schach. We say many times in our shiurim that the main aspect, the main element of a sukkah is the schach. So when we speak about the schach,
So there are very specific halachas. But when we speak about the height of the sukkah, the height of the sukkah is not as critical as anything else. The halacha, the walls of the sukkah are not the critical element of the sukkah. And since the walls of the sukkah are not the critical element of the sukkah, that's why even if it's just one tefach high, it's going to be good enough that it would, that this situation should not be considered a problem. And indeed, if we look in the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Hei, the first part of Siman Tov Reish Lamed Hei, we've already learned and we've discussed in our Shiurim, speaks about the Sukkos Gambach, the Sukkos Rachbash, and then the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Av a Sukkos Shenasis Meileh, of a Sukkos made by itself, Psula, Lefishoy Neilasis Letzel, it wasn't made expressly for tzel. Lefikach, Paskins the Shulchan Aruch, as we just learned in the Gemara, Hachoytish Begodish Vosso a Sukkah, if somebody just digs out the haystack, and a Sukkah, you didn't dig it out. The schach wasn't put down to be for tzel. Now when I dig it out, masha oyser achakach have a taas soivaloi min osi. So lefikach says the Shulchan Aruch, if imosu betchila kshenosin shama godish, when you put down the haystack, you left chalal a space which is a tefach high b'meshach shiva l'shem sukkah. And notice the words of the Shulchan Aruch. Here too, it says it was made l'shem sukkah. V'chotet bar achkach v'shlim l'asara. And then you dig out to the height of 10th, k'shera. Shrei nasis chach shalot l'tzeil. You started with a space. So the area on top of that open space was considered tzchach. We won't read further in the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Ramah. But the Ramah concludes, so the Ramah teaches us a very important halacha, that one should not make the schach before he puts up the walls, because if he puts up the schach before he puts up the walls, then it's like chotet begodish. Because, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, when you put on the schach has to be the tzeil, it has to be covering of an oil. So, says the remark, let's say you have four poles and you don't have the walls of your sukkah up and you just put on the schach. He says that isn't acceptable, because if you're going to put on the schach before you have the walls, that schach is not l'shem tzeil. And afterwards, when you put up the walls, you'll have a situation of tasa v'loy min ha'osui, and that schach will not be considered kosher schach. And therefore, the Ramah paskens very clearly, vein lasas aschach kodim shiasa defanis. However, says the Ramah, vim also tefach samach l'schach, if you already have a wall just the size of a tefach, that is already enough of a wall, muta l'sache kodim shiasa shara defanis, k'may b'choyt b'godish. Just like we learned, b'choyt b'godish, as soon as you have a wall, you considered it, even the size of a tefach, as we just described, it's considered a wall. Here too, if you have a wall, even just the size of a tefach, below the schach, that's already considered a wall, and even the Ramah agrees that you don't have a problem putting the schach on, even though you don't have the rest of the wall up yet. The Paiska make a very important point. Even though we're saying that as far as Hilchus Sukkah is concerned, it's not considered that you put on a ceiling unless you have the schach on already, unless you have wool already, say the Paiskim, one shouldn't make the mistake to believe for Hilchus Shabbos that if I'm going to not have walls and I just make a ceiling, that isn't considered an oil. The Paiskim can make the point that one shouldn't make that mistake. The Ramah is just being machmer as far as Hilchis
sukkah is concerned, that you should have some wall. But the Ramah doesn't mean to say the Paiskim, that you're allowed to do it on Shabbos and wouldn't be considered making an oil. But the Ramah, as we just read, paskins very clearly that you're supposed to put up the walls. Again, very lenient approach to putting up the walls. Just the tefach nech and next to the schach is adequate. Otherwise, you would have a problem. So there's a machloikas achroinim quoted by the Mishnah Brura, that the Mishnah Brura says, what is if somebody did put up the schach and have to put on the walls? What would be the halacha? So the Mishnah Brura says, the bach is mekel. But there are many achroinim that are machmer, that hold that even b'di'evid, it wouldn't be acceptable. The achroinim that are machmer, the Mishnah Brura quotes them, the Sharetzion, and the Levosh, and the Taz, and the Eliyahu Rabbah. The Sharet Shuva says that we could rely on the Bach B'di'evit. But we just quoted all the other Achroinim that don't rely on the Bach even B'di'evit. And I always found this discussion to be quite interesting. Because in a previous year, we quoted a machlokes of the Ramah and the Bach. What happens if somebody makes a sukkah under a closed ceiling and then afterwards opens up that ceiling and puts on the schach and then afterwards opens up the ceiling? In other words, let's say somebody has a skylight and he puts on the sukkah, puts on the schach under the skylight, it's raining, or for whatever reason, the skylight wasn't opened, and then he opens up the skylight. Would that be a problem of Tassavalim and Osui or not? And we quoted in our Shiurim, a machloikis Ramah and the Bach. Ramah says that's considered Tassavalim and Osui. Because when I put up the schach, the ceiling, the schach was under the covering. The other paiskim, or the Bach is machmer and the Ramah is maker. So we find just the opposite. In our case, where you have the schach without the walls, the Ramah is machmer and the Bach is maker. In that case, where you put the schach on under your closed ceiling, the Bach is machmer in Hilchos Tassavoy Menosui, and Ramah is Mekel. Why is it that way? Perhaps what we said earlier in our shiur is the answer to that question. When is there, because the Bach is going to say that I'm only concerned with tasks of Eloi Menosui when we speak about the Schach. So if I'm putting on Schach under a closed ceiling, under a closed skylight, that's a problem of Tassav Eloi Menosui. But if I put on the schach, where here it's not a fact, it's not an issue in the schach, here it's an issue on the walls. On the walls, says the Bach, I'm not worried about Tassav Eloi Menosui. Perhaps there's another explanation how we could explain the Bach. The Bach indeed is being makel in our case. The Bach is saying that if I put up the walls, even after I put up the schach, it's going to be fine. Why is the Bach being makel? The reason the Bach is being makel is because when I put on the wall, the Bach is going to hold like the Rif. And if you look in the Bach, you'll see that the Bach indeed paskins like the Rif. The Bach is saying that when I dig the other nine tefachim, the Rif said, I have to do them l'shem sukkah. And in fact, the Mishnah Brura didn't understand the opinion of the Bach. But according to the way we're explaining, it's now when I'm making into the sukkah, when I put up the walls. That's why the Bach doesn't have a problem with putting up the walls after I put up the schach. because I'm putting up those walls, l'shem sukkah, just like when I did the other night tefachim in our Gemara, l'shem sukkah. The Rif says that's why it's acceptable, even though I only started with a tefach. Here too, since when I put up the walls, I put them up l'shem sukkah, it doesn't bother me, according to Bach, if I put on the walls after the schach. The Ramah, however, is not learning that you're putting up the walls l'shem sukkah, and therefore you have a problem with tassav leiman osri. But this would create a tremendous chiddush that it could be even the Ramah that's machmer. Even the Ramah that's machmer is only machmer in a situation where I have, when I don't put up the walls l'shem sukkah. But if I put up the schach and then I put up the walls, but I put them up l'shem sukkah, it could be that just like the Bach is makel, maybe the Ramah would be makel as well. I saw another very interesting psak, that if we follow the opinion of the Ramah, as the Ramah stated, and it seems that most achroim, certainly l'chatchila, we have to follow the opinion of the Ramah, and even b'dieved, we quoted a number of achroinim that say you have to follow the opinion of the Ramah, and if you put up the walls after the schach, it's possible. So I saw that the Paiskim suggest that let's say you're making a sukkah of doif and akuma. And doif and akuma means that you have ceiling space between the schach and the wall. So, and as we know, the Rishonim explained, the doif and akuma is an extension of the wall. So if doif and akuma is an extension of the wall, and as the Ramah just taught us, you have to have a tefach next to the schach on before you put on the schach, so that tefach that's on the doif and akuma has to be there first. So if you're going to be building a sukkah with doif and akuma, you have to make sure that the doif and akuma next to the schach should be there before you put the schach, just like the Ramah teaches us. But now that we've discussed that you have to have your walls up before you put up your sukkah, so the Pais can discuss what happens if you have a sukkah made out of shutters. This happens quite commonly in Israel, where they have trisim, shutters around their porches, and then you, and that they are the walls of your sukkah. So it's not very relevant of a shayla. The real reason why it's not very much of a shayla, because even if you pull up your shutters, you're going to have a tefach. And the Ramah clearly tells us, as soon as you have a tefach next to your schach, it's fine. The issue, however, is, let's say you don't have a tefach. So clearly, following the opinion of the Ramah, the halachish is, following the opinion of the Ramah, you have to make sure that when you build your sukkah, you have your shutters down, so you have your walls up before you're building your sukkah. The question is, if you indeed did that, you put down your shutters, so in other words, you have your walls for the sukkah, and after you did that, you made your sukkah before sukkah, so you want to open up your shutters. Does that passel the sukkah? So there's a number of opinions in the Paiskim. One opinion in the Paiskim is that indeed it would passel the sukkah. Another opinion is that you have to keep it that way until sukkah. Once sukkah begins, then it becomes a kosher sukkah. And once it's a kosher sukkah, it remains kosher for the duration of the sukkah. That's the opinion of the Shailos HaTshuvos Rav Poalim. However, there's a long discussion about this in the Sefer Chazoin Avadya on Hilchos Sukkah, and the Shevet HaLevi in Shailos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi Chelik Ches Simen Kuf Mevav, and the Mekroi Kodesh on Sukkah and Simen Yud Aleph all seem to be makel. As long as you built the sukkah bekashrus, the fact that it got disqualified afterwards would not
because you picked up the shutters, as long as you as long as you had the walls up when you built the sukkah, it's fine. Interestingly, Rav Vosner in his tshuva takes a very interesting approach. He says, the entire requirement of having the walls, we see, is not so simple. So certainly if you had the walls when you built the sukkah, even if they came down, it wouldn't bother me. It seems that everybody agrees that if you had them entire time before sukkahs, and then during sukkahs they came down, and then you put them back up, everybody would take a lenient approach to that shaila.